Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 27. Indra and Sarabi offer prayers. Text number 20. Tvam nak paramakam daivam. Tvam na indro jagatpate. Pavaya bhava go vipra. Devanam yeta sarva. Tvam you. Naha are paramakam supreme daivam worshipable deity. Tvam you. Naha are Indra, Lord Indra, Jagatpate, O Master of the Universe, Bhavaya, for the welfare, Bhava, please be, Go of the cows, Vipra, the Brahmanas, Devanam, and the demigods, Yea, who, Cha, and Sarva, saintly persons. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. You are a worshipful deity, therefore, O Lord of the universe, for the benefit of the cows, the brahmanas, the demigods, and all of the saintly persons, please become our Indra. Please repeat. You are a worshipful deity. Therefore, O Lord of the universe, for the benefit of the cows, the brahmanas, the demigods, and all other saintly persons, please become our Indra. Purport. The Supreme Lord is self-sufficient. He can do anything. He can do everything himself. The Lord appointed one of his innumerable children to the position of Indra, the Lord of the cosmic heaven. But Indra abused his authority, and now Sarabi requests Lord Krishna, the Absolute Truth, to directly become her Lord, her Indra. We should carefully perform our duties without false pride. Thus we will not become obsolete and embarrassed as in the present case of King Indra, who actually attacked Lord Krishna and his Vrindavan devotees. Tvam na paramakam daivam, tvam na indro jagatpate, pavaya bhava go vipra, devanam ye chasarava. You are a worshipful deity, therefore, O Lord of the universe, for the benefit of the cows, the Brahmins, the demigods, and all of the saintly persons, please become our Indra. Mam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutta Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Satarna. Indra is certainly a relatively important person within this universe. He's been given so much responsibility by Lord Krishna that throughout the whole universe he supplies rain, which, as Krishna says, is the basis of food grains. In other words, Indra is more or less in charge of the food through the rains. But still, if Indra did something wrong, and therefore his, at least in the eyes of Sarabi from the heavenly planets, he had lost his respectability, and therefore Sarabi wanted to take direct shelter of Krishna rather than take shelter through Indra. Maharaj Rishabhdev has told us, Gurur na sasyat, pita na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, na pitas na sasyat, daivam na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, sasyaj, namochiyat yaksu upeti mrityum. That one should not become a guru. Gurur na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, or one should not become a relative, a worshipable. Or pita na sasyat, that one should not become a father or a mother or a worshipable demigod or a husband unless one is prepared to deliver one's dependents from the path of birth and death. Although, under illusion, we think ourselves to be this material body, but actually we have nothing at all to do with the material body, any more than we have something to do with the dream that we have at night. There is a connection with our experience, but that doesn't make the dream at night any more real just because we're experiencing it. Similarly, our present position is we're experiencing the material nature being filtered to us through our false ego, and therefore we believe or we think we're actually undergoing the existence called material existence. But it's actually just a theater going on. It's just an arrangement of different gross and subtle elements, energies, created by the Supreme Lord to provide a theater for us to experience. Certainly it's a theater that any person in Hollywood should be envious of. They're trying very hard. First they came out with, I guess, just slideshows practically. And then they came out with like motion pictures. They were very proud. And then they came out with speaking, actually talking movies. And they became super proud. And then it was color. You can actually see color in the movie. And now it's three-dimensional. But let them create a three-dimensional world where we're put into it and we experience the results of our other experiences in the other three-dimensional worlds. No, actually they can just, in a very shallow way, three-dimensional, we're always seeing three-dimensional, at least those who have proper vision. So if you go to the movies and see three-dimensional, what's the difference? It's the same thing. Why would you pay? Who's going to walk into this temple room and pay to see three-dimensional in the temple room? But because they're trying to imitate Krishna, therefore they're trying to come up with this idea that we can create a illusory world just as good as the illusory world that God has created. But that's not going to happen because God has created a perfect illusory world for us to play around in. But after all, that's ultimately all it is. It's just an illusion. Due to our false ego, we're imagining that it's real. Now it has its reality in the sense that if we utilize our present circumstances, and utilizing doesn't mean that we're going to rearrange the material world as we desire it. It means if we learn how to desire properly, we accept the proper understanding of existence, the proper mood of existence, because the material nature is presenting us with different alternatives. It is not that only one mood is going through the conditioned soul's mind at every moment. There are so many moods, and they're changing all the time. The question is whether or not we want to accept the appropriate mood, we want to accept the appropriate vision. It's not going to come from another conditioned soul. It can only come through a liberated soul who's getting that mood and that message from the, ultimately, Lord Krishna and his eternal associates in the spiritual world. They know things properly. They have the proper mood called devotion to Krishna and to his servants. Whether or not we accept that mood and to what degree we accept that mood really depends upon us. But depending upon us means how much we actually understand, number one, what that mood is and why we should accept that mood, not only just theoretically, but how much we're actually inspired to accept that mood of surrender, we could say. Surrender means surrender to Krishna rather than to our material conception of life, which is full of anxiety, But because we love our bodies and we love the things in relation to our bodies, we love the drama that's going on, therefore we're always in anxiety about it. As Mother Jasoda is in anxiety about what Krishna is doing, whether he's eating properly, whether he's being endangered by birds or other kinds of bulls or other kinds of animals. So we're in anxiety over the body. It's our, more or less, our rasa with the material energy. We've accepted a material body and we think it's some kind of love exchange between ultimately our body and ourselves, the soul, and other persons who are more or less decorating the body, who are like paraphernalia for our drama that's going on. It's a drama that we always lose. It never, although we think ourselves to be the hero, but the energy called the material nature, which is ultimately what we're fighting against, always wins. All our fears always come out to be correct because we die. And all our attempts to avoid it, to live perpetually here, either through eating or sleeping or mating or defending, we're always defeated. Paravas tavada bodha jato yavana jignasitatma tatvam yavan kriyastavada dhamano vai karmatmaka yena sharira bandaha. That one is said to be defeated by the illusory energy as long as one does not inquire about one's real nature. It's not that we just come to Bhagavatam class and we ask a question and that's our daily inquiry. No one actually has to become permanently or perpetually inquisitive about who I actually am. Without that determination, then we may wake up for a few seconds or try to wake up and then go back to sleep. Therefore, the attempt is to actually develop real inquisitiveness, perpetually trying to understand not only who we are and what the reality of our circumstances are, but what is the actual process of waking up out of our current condition of sleeping in the material nature. And no matter whether we're a so-called in the good or bad person, whether we're in the modes of ignorance or passion or goodness, whether we get the approval or disapproval of others, still everyone here goes through old age, disease, and death, and having to take birth again and suffer the material energy. The good person suffers, the bad person suffers. Maybe the good person suffers less, so if you had a choice between being hung by a rope or being shot in the head with a bullet, which would you choose? It would be your choice. Nowadays you have a choice, whether you drink poison in the form of one brand of soda or poison another brand of soda. You think that I have my free will, I'm exercising it, I'm free to do whatever thing that will cause me the most or the least amount of misery. It's not a very good choice. Only if we try to understand how to get out of our present misconception of material conception of life, where we're busily or not so busily, depending on the mode of nature we're subjected to, endeavoring to maintain our body, make it comfortable, making things in relation to this body comfortable and protecting it, and no thought about actually who I am or what my real purpose of life is. So that's considered paravas, defeated by ajata, by ignorance. So as long as we don't, as long as we're not really thinking, what does Krishna want me to do under these circumstances, and how should I do it to please him? As soon as we stop thinking like that, then at once we become covered by the illusory energy. And as long as the consciousness, the mind, is covered by the illusory energy, then our consciousness is unclear. And instead of trying to become peaceful and happy through taking shelter of Krishna, we think we're going to become peaceful and happy by trying to counteract the problems that material nature is presenting to us, at least to our body. And rest assured, all of us can rest assured, it doesn't matter how expert we become in solving problems, there'll always be plenty of problems to solve in the future. It's a problem that never ends. That even we become so expert that we get the body of Brahma, it is not that Brahma has a peaceful life either. Even Kamsa, his associates, were saying that Brahma, who's created the universe, who's created all the illusory different potencies by which we're afflicted by, he himself is afflicted by the same problems. Therefore, he's in the forest meditating out of fear that he's going to die. He's afraid of death. So if we're not afraid of death, it's only because we're so covered up by the material nature, we don't even know what's going on. But he's awake, and he has problems. He sits on the lotus flower, and as soon as he creates some offspring, they come and attack him. He's sitting there peacefully, and something worse, and a hurricane comes and tries to knock him off the lotus flower. So he has problems. So what are we going to expect? A completely peaceful life in the material nature, that we're going to become so expert, we're going to figure out how to solve all our problems. We just get an extra amount of money, then we can buy our, we can solve our problems by paying them off. That the richest and the poorest people in this world have problems. They may not be of the same nature, but generally the richer people have more problems than the poorer people because they have more things to be, have problems about. Therefore, this idea, Janmaishvarya Shute Shivir Edamanak Madakpuman, Naivahatya Vedatum Vai, Twamakinchana Gochara, that this idea that if I increase my material education or my material personal power and influence or my personal wealth or my personal learning how to deal with the material energy, then I'm going to become happy. No, actually, we become intoxicated by our so-called achievements. And therefore, the real solution to our problems, we're not conscious of, it goes far away, namely to chant Hare Krishna with feeling, asking Krishna to take us out of the clutches of the illusory energy. Instead, we try to create a comfortable situation, which is in a temporary world, which there will be problems at every moment, no matter how comfortable we make our situation. And even if we were able to achieve some degree of comfort, then we quickly become bored. Because we're striving so hard to solve our problems, if all our problems, even for a small amount of time, were solved, we have nothing to do. We've made a goal of life to work here in the material world hard to solve problems, and therefore we're dependent on the problems to keep ourselves busy and thinking that we're making some progress. But actually, only if one takes shelter of Krishna, then one's problems will be solved. Otherwise, one becomes Indra as soon as he gets Krishna's supreme position, as soon as he gets his devotional attitude, he's captured by the illusory energy and he's forced to become humiliated. But that humiliation is good if one accepts it in the right spirit, because then one will realize that it's not a good, whoever one is, however one may think of oneself or others may think of oneself, without becoming Krishna conscious, we're simply going to become captured by the illusory energy. And in that state, we have to suffer the threefold miseries and ultimately the miseries of old age, disease, and death, and taking birth again, which is our real problem, not our prestige, not our material comfort, not our dwindling body. Our real problem is that we're in the world of birth and death, and we haven't accepted Krishna as our actual shelter or Krishna's representatives who are actually giving us Krishna, taking shelter of their instructions so we can actually realize who we really are and who Krishna is. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Cor Permanente.